You know what would be cool? Angels with Uzis. That's what the 13-year-old boy who wrote Legion thought. Welcome to the Flop House. I'm Dan McCoy.
I'm Stuart Wellington.
I am Elliot Kalin.
Two in a row, guys.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Two in a row with all of us.
It's a good run.
Oh, man.
So,
And I am beat. Well, let's call it a day, huh?
Well, I'm getting pretty old. Speaking of which...
Well, it's your birthday?
Somebody's birthday is coming up.
Birthday this Saturday.
That's pretty sneaky the way you dropped that one in there.
Yep.
I don't see any gifts in you guys' hands. I don't... I don't know whether they're...
Well, I... You know,
I mean, your pocket. I don't.
I prefer to give the gift of friendship.
Mm.
It's the gift that keeps on giving as long as I decide to.
We're all getting older. I thought, like, just showing up was a gift.
Yeah, we're kind of at the age where presents are kind of phased out.
I see.
Yeah.
So you believe that just, you know, every day is a gift.
Yeah, really. Like, every day that we're alive and demons aren't killing our babies is a gift,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, okay. Every day we're not barricaded in a diner. With an angel fighting other angels.
I don't
angels.
Understand
every,
this.
Every day we don't have to watch...
Simile, this
the
metaphor.
The movie Legion.
The movie Legion is a gift.
Oh, okay.
Gift given to
so
us
not
by
today.
The Lord above.
Today was not a gift.
No, today was bad.
I mean, it had its moments before I got here, obviously.
It was a gift, but it was a bad gift.
Mm.
You know, it was like the movie The Gift?
Exactly.
But the movie The Gift gave us the gift of Katie Holmes' breasts back when she was not crazy.
Well, I'll return that if the receipt's still around.
Yeah.
I'd rather have
I mean,
a
it's
gift.
Not like Terry Hatcher's breasts in Heaven's Prisoners.
Yikes. Yeah.
Which are like two Sunnyside eggs.
It's not like the movie The Gift.
Two Sunnyside eggs.
No, I'd rather
it's not
have
like the movie
nail.
The Gift aged with. Katie Holmes.
Yeah, because
so
Katie
now...
Holmes is now an ancient hag.
No, but she's like a crazy, like, she's
I mean,
Tom Cruise's
I would,
crazy
I'd rather return,
woman.
See if I can exchange it for the gift of, like, Scarlett Johansson's boobs.
Ah, that's a real trade-up. That's,
Well, I'll pay the difference.
Okay.
I have a gift certificate.
Hollywood?
To celebrity boobs.
Is that how you work? If it is, give
is
us a call.
Is that a website? Celebrity boobs?
I assume it has
oh,
to
no,
be.
That's Mr. Skin.
Sound nothing alike, but I'm sure they do the same thing.
We have almost immediately derailed this into the
You were the one who brought up your birthday. Last time I checked, this wasn't a birthday podcast. Wasn't a podcast where we talked about how old we were
that's
getting.
It segued nicely into Legion. And
Not
then,
anymore.
And then it went into breasts.
So what are you doing for your birthday?
Well, if I was
New
13...
York City Brewfest, actually.
Wait, really?
On Governor's Island.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
Wait, I thought we were hanging out.
No, there's a party.
When? At the Brewfest?
No, it's later on.
Oh, okay.
It's after the Brewfest. This is an ill-conceived notion.
What are you doing after? What are
I'm
we
sure
doing?
That I will be tired and angry by the time I show up at my own party.
Oh, just the way I like hanging
out. Wait, are you going to post this before your birthday?
Because if so, we could do a movie minute. No, we can't.
Yeah, I was just going to say, because we could promote your birthday party and see...
Flophouse fans.
See which local fans might want to show up to.
No, I don't want to do that.
Oh, that'd be weird.
Oh, wow, too good to hang out with your fans,
yeah, what
huh?
the fuck, dude?
No wonder you don't have a hook.
Elliot and I will talk to
No wonder people don't like you. Yeah, I'd love to hang out with Flophouse.
Yeah, I'd love to talk to some Flophouse fans.
Yeah.
We could talk about who their favorite flopper is.
Yes.
Hint. Wink.
Wink,
know
wink.
What I mean?
I know you can narrow it down to two.
Mm-hmm.
Since one of us hates you, so
yeah,
and his name is Dan.
Thanks for clarifying. Flophouse fans like it when things are simple and clear.
Yeah.
Wait, I think you're the one insulting them. But
no
anyway,
way.
We watched a movie called Legion.
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 It starred Paul Bettany.
Starred in a loose sense because he didn't really do that.
Didn't
much.
Didn't do much and was not necessary for much of the movie.
Didn't act a lot.
Yeah.
Stood around.
Mm-hmm. Shot a bunch of guns.
Shot machine guns one-handed.
It's a movie about religion.
Oh, yes. This was a religious drama, much like much of Ingmar Bergman's work.
Yeah, it was a real think piece.
So it starred Paul Bettany. It also has Charles S. Dutton. You might know him
TV's
as Rock.
Rock. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You might know him as the guy from Mimic.
You might also know a little Dennis Quaid.
Little Dennis Quaid.
Little Dennis Quaid. Little Dennis Quaid is the kid version of Dennis Quaid, who's on Noggin.
Doug Jones.
The Fabulous Baker Kids.
Doug Jones is a minor character.
The girl from Friday Night Lights,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah.
Adrienne Padalecki.
That's her name.
From Friday, yeah, Friday Night Lights.
What's that, Polish?
I have no idea. I'm not her father.
If this was the 30s in Hollywood, she would have been named like Adrienne Petals, you know.
Yeah.
She played Tyra Collette on Friday Night Lights.
Much better on Friday Night Lights, I got to tell you. But then she wasn't pregnant on Friday Night Lights.
There are a lot of TV stars in this. Kate Walsh from TV's Grey's Anatomy / Private Practice.
Okay.
Was in it.
Yeah, and also Rock.
Wait,
mentioned.
Isn't
what, Willa Holland from TV's The O.C. was Kate Walsh's daughter.
Wow, you really know a lot more about TV than I do.
Yeah, you do. You should do a TV podcast instead of this one.
Yeah, you seem to
it
love
might be
television.
Better.
Okay, it well, I called... guess I would have to fire you two since you don't know anything
what?
About television.
What?
I mean, I could show up and get drunk. I don't know anything about movies. I don't know anything about comedy.
Okay, it's fair enough.
Everybody gets quiet and looks at me awkwardly.
Yeah, wait a minute.
Like, what is he doing?
There's
here?
Some dead weight we're carrying.
Well,
around.
The reason I'm here is because I.
You are wearing an impressive muscle tee right now.
Sure, an Italian tee.
Yeah, it says face on the front.
That's true.
And chill on the back.
You apparently starred in the A-Team remake, and we didn't know about it.
Didn't A-Team remake? Is that a TV program?
A-Team adaptation. Feature
okay.
film.
Oh, it's a feature film. Yeah. Sure. Who's in it?
B.A. Baracus, Face, Hannibal, and Murdoch.
So the characters from the original A-Team series were in
They played themselves.
That's nice to know.
Except for I was implying that you played Face. See.
Okay, so I was Face.
So we watched a movie called Legion.
Okay. Elliot, why don't you explain this movie? Because we're talking in circles.
All right. Our main hero character, Paul Bettany, is...
a Moebius strip.
Is the Archangel Michael. Who I believe is an archangel. He appears in L.A., slashes his wings off, and his halo comes off.
Like in Terminator.
This movie is basically Terminator, but with angels instead of robots. He appears, then he gets a bunch of guns, and it turns out he's going to a roadside diner where a collection of characters who have, let's just say, unhappy pasts have been assembled.
A roadside diner in a non-town called
Paradise Falls.
Holy shit, I just got that.
Yeah, Paradise Falls. It turns out
because the angels fell, right?
Yes, from paradise.
Okay.
There's a pregnant waitress at the diner, and it turns out her baby will be some sort of vague, not very well-defined messiah when he's born. And God has decided he hates humanity and is going to send send darkness and an army of angels to just obliterate the species.
Will her child have the JC initials? Because every Messiah type character has those. I don't know if you guys paid attention in English class.
Your John Connors.
Yep.
Yeah, they taught me a lot about
Jim Casey's from Grapes of Wrath.
Yeah,
Mile guy.
In English class, we learned a lot about John Connor and the Terminator mythology. Now, your assignment tonight is to read issues 1-4 of the Now Comics series, The Terminator. We'll work our way up to the Dark Horse comics. Shouldn't we be reading like Shakespeare and stuff? Get out of my class. It's basically the Terminator with angels. So there's a bunch of angels that are supposed to come and kill these people. They do it by, instead of a T-1000 taking the forms of people it kills, the angels inhabit the bodies of people and turn them into monsters. And this is, I believe, part of where the name Legion comes from. It's not just a legion of, you know, like a brigade of angels.
Sure.
Legion in the New Testament.
I am Legion.
I am Legion is kind of a demon made up of a collection of demonic things, and he possesses a body. Mm-hmm. And I believe that's the one that Christ casts out of someone's body. And listeners, write in and correct me on this if I'm wrong.
Although they do not originally come as a legion. Originally they come kung fu style,
one at a time. Yeah. I keep speaking the same things as you. I'm sorry. They decide that there's an army of angels. There's a group of nobodies at a diner. The best way to kill them is to inhabit the bodies of the frail and weak, such as an old lady, and then appear one at a time and randomly lash out, be shot to death with guns, and then come again another time.
Yeah, not even attack the person that they're meaning to attack first.
That's the pregnant chick.
Yeah, they don't go for the pregnant woman.
She's probably one of the easier ones to take out.
Instead, they want to creep out the diners So they just attack everybody else one by one, and they, you know, they barricade the diner, and people, and you know, it's armies of possessed people walking up.
And the movie does a pretty good job of just like of like surprising you as to who's going to be a demon, right?
Well, the first demon that we see, well, not the first. Well, they're not really demons; they're angels. But the first,
well, let's call them demons.
Let's call them demons because it's really stupid.
Because if I keep saying angels in a bad way, I'll feel kind of bad about it.
Okay. Well, the first demon,
because I'm super religious.
The first demon we see in a big way, an old lady.
In a big way, he's busting out all over America.
Because there's one in the first scene that takes over the body of an LAPD cop briefly, but like that doesn't really count. An old lady drives
up. Why doesn't it count? Because it's LAPD, or because
it doesn't really do anything interesting.
Critique of their police force, or
a little bit. The second demon we see, but the first one that really is exciting at all,
sure,
is, or, and I use that term as loosely as possible, is an old lady. And the way I would do this scene, old lady walks into the diner, unsuspecting. Start saying kind of off things.
I mean, you're suspecting because you saw her in the trailer acting like a demon.
Well, this is assuming you didn't see the trailer, even though it was in every commercial.
Okay.
And then suddenly she turns into a monster and attacks somebody. Tries to attack the waitress. The waitress jumps back. Somebody else gets in the way and gets killed. And then the old lady gets killed. That's how I do it. Instead, here's how it happens. The most ominous possible shots of the old lady from above, from behind, from below, with scary music playing as she walks into the diner. She asks for a raw steak, and as she sits there looking at it, flies come out of somewhere
and start landing on the steak. Right?
She talks to the waitress and says, "Your baby is going to burn in hell." The waitress is like, "Fuck you, lady."
Yeah, she does a real Betty White on her, right?
Yeah, exactly. The waitress walks away.
And you were cracking up because you love it when old people start talking sass and shit.
There's nothing funnier to me than an old lady like cursing or rapping. The only thing I guess funny would be if like a big scary biker walks up and then he starts talking about like art or like something delicate that you don't expect a biker to talk about.
Yeah, well, how does he know about that stuff?
I mean, that's basically the best humor there is. There's nothing funnier than that.
The pinnacle.
And then the old lady yells at the husband of the woman from Grey's Anatomy, and he goes, "Hey, like, that's my wife you're talking to," and she becomes a monster and attacks that guy.
Yeah, rips out his throat, basically.
When at any point she could have just attacked the waitress and done her job right away. The angel who wants to protect them hasn't even shown up yet.
Yeah, it'd have been easy.
But that's around when the angel, Paul Bettany, shows up. He's got a car full of guns, and he takes a lead of this ragtag team,
and he does this by coming out they're all no you know what's the word they're justifiably upset about what just happened.
A monster attacked them,
you know, and so they're, you know, waving guns at Paul Bettany's face. They don't know who this guy is. He's in a cop car, but he doesn't look like a cop. And Paul Bettany talks in completely cryptic phrases, grabs the gun away from Dennis Quaid, points it at his head. Tyrese, oh, we forgot that Tyrese Gibson is also in this movie.
Transformers.
Yeah, he's holding a gun to Paul Bettany. And
from
then,
Fast and Furious.
A swarm of locusts is bearing down
on
them.
He was in Baby Boy also. Yeah, yeah. And then
and Bettany like gives the gun back to Dennis Quaid after he had just had it at his forehead and turns away to get a bunch of guns out of the trunk to toss to everyone. Why doesn't Tyrese Gibson just like shoot him?
Because they're being cool. They're being cool.
I guess. Like, there's nothing that Paul Bettany has done or said has indicated that he is anything but a threat at this point.
Paul Bettany doesn't explain what's going on until probably an hour into the hour and, you know, I don't know, 10 minutes into the movie. And up to that point, everyone's been following his lead as wave after wave of the most incompetent angels in the world try to get into this.
You know, I can give the angel demons a little bit of credit initially because maybe they were like, look, We got as much time as we want to kill this baby. Let's take our time and try and spook everybody out. Get them really scared first. They didn't expect Paul Bettany to show up with a shitload of machine guns, which, of course, he does.
He's like angel kryptonite.
Yeah, apparently bullets kill. Well, it's one like the angel demons are taking over the bodies of people.
Yeah, and when they do it, their heads like go all crazy, like in the Matrix.
Yeah, they shake around a lot.
When Agent Smith takes over a dude.
Guys, flashback
to the 1970s,
a year and a half ago, whenever Legion actually came out, and or before Legion came out. Sure. And I showed you
the different trailer world.
what a different world it was. But I showed you the trailer online.
Pre the Deepwater Deep Horizon water.
And we all had mustaches. Yep. We wore completely different clothes.
I was married.
Sure.
Wow. Dan was single.
I was like 14, I think.
And somehow the mayor of Cleveland.
Yeah, and I had a baseball cap on backwards with a tuft of hair sticking out the mm-hmm. front and skateboard in my
slingshot out your back pocket. Sure.
And I was urinating on a Ford logo.
To show your disapproval of Ford.
I don't think it's a very good brand, frankly.
The idea that you're always constantly pushing around a giant Ford logo so you can piss on it.
I want to know how you got that such a good arc to your urine, too.
Yeah.
Like a really...
Without showing anybody
I drink
your
a
penis.
Lot of mercury. It adds weight to my urine.
Makes it easier to plot the trajectory.
No, but sure. The point was, like, you guys had not heard about this movie at that time. And I showed you the trailer online.
Are you trying to show off?
No, I'm just saying, like, your immediate reaction was...
I'm a bigger Legion fan than you, because I knew about it before you did. Fuck you.
My
hipster Legion fan.
Oh, God. Your immediate reaction was exactly what I hoped, which was you just looked at it and like, this is stupid.
And, I think we gave each other a lot of high fives, and we're, like, pumping our fists
throughout
saying,
the trailer.
Booyah.
Yeah, yeah.
But this led to one of the longest-running... Flophouse inside jokes that has never happened on the podcast itself.
Oh, that's right.
Along with 7 pounds,
our Batman villain,
the Batman villain, who has completely existed off microphone.
Thank God.
But
I don't know. It's when we saw the movie 7 pounds, we were so bored that we invented this character who commits 7 pounds related crimes.
Yeah. Batman, I've just stolen 7 pounds. Those are the pounds sterling, you know, in London. Like, oh, that's not a very big crime. I don't usually...
The 7-pound diamond is on display at the Gotham Museum. Do you think 7 pounds might try to steal it?
And on.
It goes like that.
It was pretty hilarious, if I recall.
Yeah.
I mean, funnier than what we just did, I think. Maybe 7 pounds.
Are you
funnier?
Saying what we just did was not as funny as like an old lady swearing and rapping? Or
I'd put it in between swearing and rapping, and I don't know, some kind of anthropomorphic animal doing a breakdance.
Oh, or singing
like a kangaroo jack, say.
Yeah,
like an anthropomorphic animal singing a song that like the parents of the kids who see the movie would remember from when they were young.
Sure.
But the point is, this only...
That
second,
reminds me, we got to watch Marmaduke when it's on DVD. Anyway, sure. You're saying?
Second only to 7 pounds was the...
Is Jason Lee in that?
I don't think so.
That's too bad.
Was your reaction to the fact that all the angels could get easily mowed down by machine guns in the Legion trailer,
yeah.
And indeed the Legion film.
They are the weakest, most... unintimidating angels, and it mainly one of us would interview the other about how to kill angels.
If these angels are so weak, I mean, they got to be really smart or something, right?
No, they're actually dumber than normal people.
Okay, are they really tall? Are they like superhumanly tall?
Average height is about 5'3".
Do they have claws on their hands?
No,
instead of regular fingers.
They're actually missing some fingers.
Okay, can they like breathe fire or shoot lasers out of their
they
eyes?
They have asthma and poor eyesight,
and so on.
And so forth. Like, yeah, but you could probably stop them. You need like a magic bullet or something, right? No, regular bullets. That does the job.
Regular bullets actually cause more damage to them than if they were actual humans.
But they're super strong, right?
No, the gravity of Earth is much higher than in heaven, so they're weaker than, I don't know, a 14-year-old child.
Oh, okay, I get. But, like, they can jump really high.
No, once again, they gave up their wings, and they've never had to use their legs, so they're not very good at jumping.
I mean, and this was the joke, having not seen the film, but having seen the film, it's pretty accurate.
So accurate. It's like... An army of angels is going to attack us. But they're basically zombies. So we'll just mow them down as they bump into things.
Yeah, wave after wave
it's
of
not
angels
only...
from heaven being killed by guns.
It's not just that they're zombies, because zombies would continue to go toward the heroes, but yeah. Most of them stand at the edge of vision to be shot at and make pretty good targets.
And
for
a zombie, you'd have
characters.
To at least hit their brain, whereas with these guys. It could be a glancing blow. Maybe they just heard a gun go off and they die.
Oh, and by the way, these angels somehow cannot breach the perimeter of a diner, of a desert diner. They
yeah.
can't come in through
the back door?
The doors. They put a table in front of that door.
That's a sturdy table.
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah. It's a diner level table.
That's old time crap.
And windows that aren't boarded up or covered.
Yeah.
I mean, they're made out of glass with the blinds drawn.
Oh, by the way, it's also there's a plague of darkness on the earth while this is happening. So it's okay. Nighttime.
So if you were concerned about maybe the special effects being really obvious,
no,
not the case. It's way too dark to tell what's going on.
You can't see anything. This is maybe the worst shot movie we've ever seen in this
series. Well, the director
plays
with focus a lot, so most of the time, whatever's in the forefront of the shot is hyper-focus. Everything else is really blurry. So you see, like, fingers, and that's about it.
It's like John Frankenheimer, how he used to like to have a close-up in the front, like, right up to you, and in the background there'd be like action going on behind, except here what's in the front is really blurry and what's in the back is too dark to see, so you just kind of can hear that something is happening.
And as far as hearing, you can't really tell because there's a lot of rock music going on.
So ultimately, should I say what happens?
Yeah,
in the movie?
Please.
Ultimately, this baby is born, and then it turns out that once the baby is born, the problem is not solved.
This baby, though, by the way, takes a licking and keeps on ticking.
Oh,
there's
yeah.
a point where it's like
in a car crash.
It's like, well, it's like thrown from a person's hands, and someone dives to
perfect
catch
spiral,
the baby.
Perfect spiral, easy yeah. to catch.
And then, yeah, then it goes through a car crash. It has no like baby carrier.
Yes, and then the Archangel Gabriel comes.
By
down.
By the way, that car crash would have killed all the angels if they'd been in that car.
I think just be like smelling gasoline from the car crash they'd be like, oh, I can't breathe. Just hearing that there was a car crash somewhere, they would die of anxiety. But the Archangel Gabriel comes down, and he and Michael have a Paul Bettany have a kind of brotherly relationship,
and
they're
the
kind of gay
played,
for each
the guy
other.
Who played the guy who played Gabriel. If I recall, Dan, I don't know the guy's name. And do you know his name?
On Lost, he played Kimi on Lost.
But you don't know that.
Oh, Kima from The Wire?
Yeah, I think it was Kima Griggs. And he also played the Blob in X-Men Origins, colon Wolverine.
X-Men Origins.
It's a choice. Do you want to watch X-Men or wear a pair of jeans? I'll
take the jeans.
I don't know if I'd go with that. I mean,
X-Men
it's Wolverine.
Or jeans. It's X-Men Origins, comma Wolverine. Someone's asking him that question.
Actually, if it was comma, it'd be a kind of strange
X-Men Origins, comma Wolverine.
Now, if Wolverine is given the choice of joining the X-Men and wearing jeans, I think he should join the X-Men. But
he's always wearing jeans. What is he going to wear? Khakis? Can you imagine Wolverine's not looking too intimidating in a pair of Dockers?
He wears some cargo pants.
Yeah, like really puffy cargo pants, like he's going to a race.
Come on. I don't see that. Or like maybe they'll let him wear cut-off jean shorts.
Like biker
he's got
shorts?
That samurai side to him. He can wear those kind of like those kung fu, like those puffy pants that they got.
Yeah, I don't
like
see
the ones
it.
That the guys wear when they go to raves?
No.
Or way into like,
no, like
industrial
a loose fitting
music?
Sort of linen sort of thing.
It's kind of parachute pants that like Fred Rerun Barry used to wear.
Sure. I was hoping it'd
or
be
hammer.
More like running shorts or something because it allows a lot more movement, which, you know, he's a pretty active member of the
X-Men. Wearing those 1970s basketball shorts that are really short.
Sure, and with his body hair, I think that's a bad choice.
Yes. Anywho, but they have an angry brother relationship.
Sure.
And they fight a lot, and Gabriel, I guess, decides that it's time to stop dicking around and actually go kill this baby, and he is a powerhouse fighter.
Mm-hmm.
Impervious to bullets. He has some kind of mechano mace that has lots of different metal, like knives on it. It's a mace with knives and it spins at one point.
So wait, he's impervious to bullets. How does everybody try to defeat him?
By shooting him.
Okay, that's,
and that's how.
It's a weird call.
Paul Bettany,
well, but I mean,
playing
for the
an
rest
angel.
Of the film,
tries
that's been
to
a very good strategy.
Sure.
Shooting the angels. But this guy apparently sucked the power from all the other angels and stole it for himself.
He fights Paul Bettany for a while. The people with the baby get away. And then he attacks their car. And then
he kills Paul Bettany.
Kills Paul Bettany.
With the spike.
Then
he does it Die Hard. 4 style by spiking himself and going through himself into the other guy. Come on, Die Hard 4, everyone.
I never saw Die Hard 4.
That's
Live Free or Die Hard.
I'm holding out for Die Hard 24/7.
Sure. You know. That sounds like a movie.
They announced it somewhere.
Is there a crossover between Die Hard and the Trancers franchise? With
yes,
Jack Death,
it is.
Tim Thomerson?
I would love to see John McClane and Jack Death. If there's some way to get Dollman in there, and they could fight
Tim
the demonic.
Tim Thomerson playing two roles?
Yeah, that'd be great.
Amazing.
He would win an Oscar for that. For the dual role of... Where were? Oh yeah. So
the difficult part with trying to decide which clip to use for the Oscars. One of the Jack Death clips yes. or one of the Doll Man clips.
Oh, sure. If, well, you got to use one of the clips where they're talking to each other. Because that's the real test of an actor.
Sure.
So Gabriel's the waitress who gave birth to the baby and her boyfriend.
Well, the kind of, guy who wants to be her boyfriend.
The guy who wants her boyfriend. And
Lucas Black from Fast and the Furious Tokyo Drift.
Yes, there's a lot of Fast and Furious actors in here because Tyrese was in number two. So
okay, that's Too Fast, Too Furious, if mm-hmm. I recall, sure.
It is. For you.
I can't handle that much furiousness.
While Paul Bettany is being killed by the angel, those people drive off. Archangel Gabriel goes after them. They manage to divert him by hitting him in the face with a flare from a flare gun, which doesn't even explode. It just hits him in the nose. He makes their car flip over. Baby is fine.
Sure.
And then attacks
He's
them.
Immune to car flip overs.
And then attacks them on a mountain. And Paul Bettany flies back down from heaven.
Okay. Presumably.
Where he's been regenerated.
Well, the sky opens and light comes out, and Paul Bettany, alive with wings on his back again, comes out. And apparently God has given him his job back, because while Gabriel was following orders, Paul Bettany was doing what was right, is basically what mm-hmm. it boils down to. And everything's okay, except that they have to raise this kid now to be the leader who I guess will redeem mankind.
Sure.
And so they have the Terminator ending.
Literally steal the ending from the Terminator where they are driving through the desert.
Except they didn't have like a Mexican guy take anybody's picture.
Right? No, that's true. And the baby's already born. She's but just pregnant with John Connor.
They're
at
driving
the
through the desert. There's a bunch of guns in the back seat. There's the voiceover about, you know, like, oh,
why did something like this happen?
Yeah.
And it's the exact same.
Yeah.
It's the exact same voiceover from the very beginning of the movie.
Yes.
Because I don't know about you, but I normally forget what happens like 5 minutes before what I'm currently watching.
the voice.
I could have used more flashbacks, frankly.
Oh, really? In Legion?
Yeah.
Do things earlier in the movie.
Yeah, like you were talking about a grandma. I totally forgot that.
the voiceover that's at the beginning and end of the movie, it's very much like Days of Heaven in the way it uses voiceover to introduce the movie.
Well, it's cyclical.
And its lyricalness.
Yes, and its lyrical visual quality.
It's like a Moebius strip, constantly.
the French artist?
Sure, yeah. like a Azarac comic strip.
The voiceover, she says that when before her mother ran off, this waitress was told a story by her mother of a prophecy that God would bring darkness on the world again and something about it and kill all people or something about a baby. And when she asked her mother why, her mother would say, I don't know. I guess God was just tired of the bullshit. And yeah. What I love is that where did the mom pick up this prophecy?
Sure.
It's incredibly accurate. Yeah. Where did she get it from? There's a lot of talk about...
it's an old folktale.
It's an old American folk legend.
Prophecies in movies. Okay.
I hate them.
Yeah, okay. You were saying something about that. Why don't you like it?
There is nothing I like... No, the thing I hate most in movies is any time where they have a council of elders. The thing I hate the second most is anything where they say... But the prophecy tells of one such as this, or like, according to the prophecy, you are the one. Like, I don't know why in a fantasy movie things can't just happen. They have to be following a prophecy of some kind, you know?
Sure.
Why? You've already got Paul Bettany coming down to tell them, here's what's going to happen. I know it because I'm an angel. Why does he have to say, there's a prophecy that says this is going to happen? He's there with God all the time. Like, he can just know. He doesn't have to follow a prophet, you know?
Yeah,
it's just
there's
stupid.
I'm up in heaven, but I found this scroll someplace.
Yeah, this magic scroll. Mm-hmm.
It's also
gives me 10 experience points and information about the future.
It's just a cheap plot device because things don't have to happen logically because you can just like, why is this happening to us? The prophecy tells that there will be a time of great reckoning. Like it's you just say a prophecy foretold it.
Well,
and
also,
it
like
have to
it,
make sense.
It immediately lowers the stakes of anything. I mean, for instance, if it's like a prophecy like about a chosen one, suddenly it's not an interesting movie about a guy who has to make a choice to be a hero.
Yeah.
It's about a guy who's destined to be a hero.
Yeah.
And there's nothing more boring than like a guy just like, well, I guess it's me.
That's interesting. See, the thing I like least in movies is when a character does something like maybe throw a basketball or like shoot an apple off of somebody's head, and then it cuts to that character again.
Those are the two things that characters do.
And they, and they pump their fist going, yes! That's my least favorite thing.
Really? That's your least favorite thing in movies?
At that, I throw my popcorn up in the air and storm out.
See, it's interesting. My favorite thing in movies is
when... So I stormed out of Batman and Robin like 5 times.
And you kept coming back.
You stormed out of...
That's the thing. I stormed out and
You stormed out of basketball and archery the movie.
I stormed out and
It was called Pumped Over Basketball and Archery Skills, the movie.
So I was leaving the movie theater and my mom came chasing after me. And my mom's like, Stuart, you paid money to see this movie. Batman is going to fight Mr. Freeze or something. You should totally check it out. And I was like, okay, Mom.
It's going to be nice to see you.
Yeah, and I went back.
Everyone's going to have to chill.
Yeah, and I went back and saw it, and I kept leaving.
You said, when I bought that ticket, I signed a contract with this film that they would not do one thing. They broke that contract.
They did.
I was going
to
say when
I tried to take him to kids' court, actually.
Kids' court is not...
it's on Nickelodeon.
Not a real court.
I thought I could get some money out of
it. I thought it was more like, you broke my toy, that kind of case, you know.
No, it was a case where you let down my hopes and expectations of Batman and Robin.
You know, the toy, he's got to go after the big Hollywood studios. That's where the money is.
Oh, I see.
That's where kids' court is going to award the
I wish that show had been much more real and it was like... like it was a murder case, but he was under 18, so they had to send it to kids' court, and Nickelodeon sentenced him to like clean up his room, you know. You know, well, Judge Linda Ellerby sentenced him to, you know,
sentence Macaulay Culkin's character from The Good Son
to community service, helping his mom set the table.
Sure.
I was gonna say I didn't want to be so negative, so I was gonna say one of my favorite things in movies is when the villain always has a sidekick in a movie, and at the end of the movie, the hero beats the villain in like a snowboard race or something, and the friend of the villain goes up to comfort him, and the villain pushes his friend away. I love that, and it happens in so many movies from the 80s. Like when I was growing up, it was like, oh, don't even try to console him. He's too mad. He's just going to push you away.
That is great. What's really great about it is it's never like a normal, like just shove away. Like it's like they're pushing him to the ground.
Yes.
Like,
and then folding their arms in defiance.
Now,
they refuse human warmth.
The thing I like the most in a movie is when you have a hero who is clearly conflicted, covered in tattoos. Okay, he has access to a lot of machine guns and a trench coat of some kind.
Trench coat of some kind.
Yeah, of some kind. Possibly sleeveless. Possibly. It's not required. And all the villains are going to be like magic or supernatural or something, but they're going to first appear like something very innocuous, something very innocent. Mm-hmm. In the case of Legion, they managed to accomplish this by having a foul-mouthed granny. And then later on, a dude in an ice cream truck.
Ice cream salesman.
Who would ever think
immediately.
Who would have thought that an ice cream salesman could be a demon?
I like also is the ice cream salesman, he starts yelling at them and his mouth elongates and his arms and legs elongate. And then he starts loping towards them and they just shoot him instantly.
Yeah, it makes him a bigger target.
It makes him a bigger target. Also, like, it's way harder for him to run towards them when his arms and legs are like that.
Ungainly.
Yes.
Played by nerd favorite, beloved physical actor Doug Jones, who was Abe Sapien in the Hellboy films and did a lot
that
of
makes
other...
him a nerd favorite.
No, he's just.
I thought like a nerd favorite would have been a girl in a chainmail bikini. Or
yeah,
something.
I don't even think the Hellboy movies are nerd favorites.
Like Rhona Mitra
he's
from
known
Doomsday.
For, he's known. I can't think of the other things, but he's known for like playing these very
well, the Nickelodeon cartoon
oh,
Doug.
He played.
Oh, he was in Doug.
He played Doug.
Was he the blue guy or the yellow guy?
No, he's the pink guy.
He played the Fawn in Pan's Labyrinth, like, and the guy with like the eyeballs in his hands. He's like known for being a very physical performer who can do like good costume work.
Yeah.
And he
like Ron
is
Perlman.
Given almost nothing to do here and shot.
Almost instantly. Well, but there's so many characters where they overplay the you wouldn't expect to see one of these as a monster because there's like the old lady, ice cream salesman, little girl in a dress with a balloon, little boy with a bowl haircut, guy with a birthday party hat on,
I'm surprised they didn't have any priests or like a soccer mom or like
soccer ball
or like that would have been crazy. You'd never think a soccer ball was a demon.
No, how would it even attack you? It'd take you completely off guard.
Someone
would
have to kick it at you.
I really
like
the
mom
part
or someone in a wheelchair who gets up and runs after them.
That
would have
been a good one.
A clown, you know.
I like the Japanese tourist idea.
Japanese tourist.
Or like an Eskimo.
Frenchman with a baguette.
an astronaut.
Irish cop. What's sure. all this what then?
I think my
No, it would be nothing to see here. What's all this then is an English cop.
Yeah. My favorite part.
Move along now.
Yeah.
I also really liked in the movie when the demons set up like an ambush for our favorite characters by
our
taking
favorite characters. Which ones are those?
Charles S. Dutton, TV's Rock, okay. And the ambush involves tying up a character that they captured earlier on an upside down cross.
They crucify him upside down.
I don't know if you noticed the significance there, Dan, because they turn the cross, which is an image of Christ.
You can explain good. To me after
they
the flip podcast.
It up. Okay, I'll explain later. They turn him upside down. And then he's like all covered in boils.
These huge pulsating boils that, as I described at the time, were of Tim and Eric awesome show great job level of special effects. Yeah. They looked like they had been photoshopped on, you know.
And so his wife is like, oh my God, he's alive. We should save him. She runs out there. Of course, as soon as she gets out there, the guy explodes in like acidic pus and melts Charles S. Dutton down to the spine.
Literally burns his back away so that you can see the spine and the back of his ribs through it.
Which was pretty gross. And of course, Dennis Quaid is like, I can't believe I fell asleep when I was on guard duty. If I'd been awake, they might not have been able to set up this awesome trap.
I mean, as dumb as that was, though, I can't help but wish there was more of that in the movie because, as I said—
More craziness?
We were watching it, why are you going to make a movie about angels attacking humanity and then just have a bunch of shooting happen?
A bunch of shooting and a bunch of like crappy zombies. Like, yeah. It's like, why are you going to make a vampire movie and then make From Dusk Till Dawn where all the vampires are basically zombies?
Or the underworld movies where it's vampires with the werewolves if they shoot each other, you know?
Sure. Why is a werewolf going to shoot a gun?
Exactly.
These are supernatural creatures. Have something crazy and cool happen.
Or like do a movie like Monster Squad and not have a scene at the end where all four monsters do a rap.
Wait, that happened?
No, that didn't happen.
Oh, that'd have been awesome.
That was disappointing. Like the movie is
over. I mean,
there
was a rap at the end of Monster Squad. The monsters didn't do it.
Yeah, well, thanks. I want to see the monsters do it. No, but it definitely feels like.
Can the mummy rap in that movie? I mean,
mummy is wrapped.
No, zing! He's
man, that's why I do this podcast.
He wanted to do a rap, but he was all tied up at the moment.
Sure.
But yeah, it is very disappointing that you are literally what we are led to believe are this legion of angels literally represents the wrath of God, the most powerful thing in the universe. This is your power on an unimaginable scale. There's nothing they can't do. And yet the way they choose to fight is by walking around and getting shot at with guns. Like, it's ridiculously unambitious.
Yeah, and this brings up the one thing that I really wanted to talk about, which is like the theological vision of this movie, which is, it's firmly in like this Judeo-Christian infallible God tradition, except for this God is apparently fallible because he's decided to kill all of humanity, and it's up to his one good angel to change his mind by having faith in humans.
And as you pointed out, God already promised once, according to the Torah, that he wouldn't do this again.
Like the flood story is like at the end of that, it's like, okay, well that was it. We cleaned house.
I promise I won't do this again. Every time you look at a rainbow, you'll remember
yada,
that.
Yada yada. But,
just as long as you don't use the rainbow as a symbol for gay marriage. Oh no, they did it.
And then at the end of the movie, you know, to compound that, they're going off with a bunch of guns to, safeguard against.
Well, this is
the idea that the God might change his mind again.
Well, this is the kind of cool new like 21st century theology that is like, this is okay. It's Christianity with a lot of the Matrix thrown in. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of like guns and coolness and vague talk and things like that, you know.
Yeah.
Trench coats and tattoos.
Trench coats and tattoos. But yeah, the movie is on very thin theological ice in that. But it's also one of those things where it's like, God wants to destroy humanity, so he's sending angels, but your son will be the new Messiah. Are we talking about the Trinity here?
Yeah,
is
Messiah related to God?
Is Jesus part of the Godhead? Like, what is that? You know, because this kind of happened once. Makers of the movie, I don't know if you realize, but according to the largest religion in the world, this happened. Something like this happened before Messiah was born.
Except for in this version, apparently God wants to kill his own Messiah for reasons unexplained.
And I do not remember any point where they explained why this kid was important, how his birth would change anything.
Well, he's immune to car crashes, Ellie.
That's true. And also one of those things where it's like, God doesn't want this baby born. Now, he could use 0.001 trillionth of 1% of 1% of his omnipotent power and cause a miscarriage.
Yeah.
Or just, you know, she wakes up and she isn't pregnant and was never pregnant. Yeah. But instead,
or she decides to have an abortion. She's ambivalent about this kid anyway. Yeah. So
she already wants to have an abortion when the movie starts. Yeah. So all he has to do is let things take their natural course. I think
she wants to have an adoption,
Elliot. Oh, an adoption.
I mean, though she is smoking while she's pregnant, which... Basically the same thing.
That's a no-no. But I started to believe by the end of it that God really wanted to cull the ranks of his stupider angels, so he gave them this bullshit mission to go stop this, you know, these kids, and told Paul Bettany, like, listen, can you just, like,
I mean, we're probably going to get all the answers in Legion 2.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the thing, right, guys? Like, with these big action franchises.
Legion 2, Gabriel's Revenge.
The first one's to try and get us all pumped, and then the second one's going to... try and raise some more answers, raise some more questions, I mean, and answer a few of those, but mainly set them all up for Legion 3.
I'm like, going to answer some questions and ask a whole lot more.
Hell yeah.
Well, we've got some stuff to get through, so let's skip to our final judgments on this movie.
Final judgments.
Is this a good bad movie, a bad bad movie, or a movie that you actually sort of liked in some way? Stuart?
I'm going to go with a bad bad movie, mainly because... I was hoping it was going, like, for a big action movie, the end sequence was so dark and in, like, ill-conceived. It wasn't any fun, and it was weird. It was super slow for a movie that should have had more, like, explosions and scares.
Yeah, I'm gonna say bad, bad, too, because as stupid as it was and how, like, dumb the theology was and how dumb, like, the conception of it was, there was just a bunch of nothing in the middle where we learned about all the characters' backstories, but none of the characters' backstories meant anything.
I was going to say good bad movie because for as stupid and poorly made as it is, it was like silly, but then you reminded me of all those scenes of characters talking about their backstories that are really dull, so I'm going to say bad bad movie. Those were boring.
Swayed you.
And what I love is also, like, in our normal lives, I'm sure all three of us would love to watch a well-made movie about characters we care about, you know, who have real problems and they have to overcome them. But when you're watching a movie like this, it really gets in the way.
All right, so now I'm going to read a little listener mail. We got some good letters this time.
Letters. We got letters.
Mm-hmm.
Letters.
do it one more time.
This one's,
letters.
God damn it. This one's from Alex Last Held. He has three questions.
Okay.
Is it possible to modify Dan's hook so he actually has to speak the words mournful sigh in a mournful way? I feel like we'd get more bang for our buck that way.
Oh, maybe.
How do you feel about that?
I'd have to think about it.
Do you want
to
try it out,
like,
real quick?
Mournful sigh.
I don't know. I think maybe every now and then just pepper it in.
All right. I might just toss it in a little bit. That's not a bad idea. I'm gonna switch the order of 2 and 3 because I like 2 better.
Well, we never would have known. So
it's a little behind the scenes.
Yeah,
no one cares.
This is
about
the part that my brain said and my mouth said it too, but it didn't need to.
Number 2, would you agree that 2010 will be the floppiest summer blockbuster year ever?
Well, we kicked off the summer with Marmaduke. We already had the Squeakquel. Smurfs.
I thought that was 2009.
Squeakquel came out in December.
Was that long ago?
Yeah.
I guess the
A-Team came out. That A-Team
came out. That looks like crap.
And it hasn't done critically very well.
Well, no, it hasn't done financially very well.
Yeah.
No.
It was beat by Karate Kid, which also looks
terrible.
Oh,
and strange, because I don't think there's any karate in it.
Well, there must be at some point. It's
called
Karate Kid.
I mean, he's in China. I don't think they...
No, there's been several reviews pointing out that it's a kung fu.
Technically, they don't have karate in China.
Well, that's the thing, and it's Jackie Chan. I mean, he's known for not. He's known for his hatred of karate.
They probably should have called it the Kung Fu Kid, which, frankly, is a better title.
Yeah.
But what else is coming out this summer?
And then they wouldn't have to pay the makers of Karate Kid any money.
Yeah.
Well, the film that I'm looking forward to the most is, of course, Piranha 3D.
Piranha 3D, that's right.
Sure, which I will legitimately enjoy.
Prince of Persia already came out. That was a flop.
That was a huge flop.
I'm having trouble remembering what... Jonah Hex is coming out.
That looks terrible.
That looks awful.
Sex in the City 2.
That came out. This may be the floppiest summer ever.
Yeah, there's been some pretty terrible-looking movies.
It's yeah, and last year was bad, and this year's worse. I'm very excited about it.
I'm excited about Inception.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that could be okay. That could be
any movie about dream crime someday.
Well, at this point, I'll give Christopher Nolan the benefit of the doubt.
Yeah.
You know, ahead of time.
And yeah. I mean, the same thing with Scott Pilgrim.
Scott Pilgrim, Toy Story 3 should be good.
Toy Story 3. So there are three possibly good movies coming out this summer. Yeah.
All right. Lastly,
Toy Story 3, I'm excited about. Did that come out already?
It comes out on Friday.
Twilight Eclipse comes out as well, guys.
Oh, there Twilight you go. Eclipse. Well, I think I'll probably go see Toy Story 3.
Maybe.
Lastly, he asks, has Elliot seen the newly restored version of the 1927 classic silent film Metropolis with 25 minutes of never-before-seen footage found in a vault in Buenos Aires? Is it wrong to keep editing classics? And if not, when are we finally getting a CGI-enhanced re-release of The Magnificent Ambersons?
I would say – I haven't seen it yet. Unfortunately, I missed it because there have been some schedule. I won't get into it, but there's been some family hell things that have been going on. But I didn't get to see it. But here's the thing. I saw, like, 10 years ago when Filmform had then the most recent up-to-date Metropolis. The problem with saying, should we keep editing movies is that this is footage that was in the original cut.
Yeah, it's not like
it was lost.
New version.
Yeah. And the other thing is that
there's no, like, Jabba the Hutt in
no,
Metropolis?
No, George didn't go in and put an extra music scene in. We're on first-name basis now.
Yeah, that's cool.
Jabba doesn't call...
take one trip to Skywalker Ranch.
He doesn't call Rotwang the Mad Scientist my boogie, you know. But I guess the thing
what's
is...
What's a boogie?
It means boy.
Oh, really?
Yeah, just like Bantha Poodoo means Bantha fodder, and the Hutties for Jedi Mind Tricks is Jedi Mind Tricks. But
well,
I think
it's like French, you know, the blue jeans, you know.
Yes, it's a cognate. Yeah, it's a imported word.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But the thing about like if they found the lost footage from Magnificent Ambersons, they I think would be well within their power to put it back in. I mean, the ending is lost forever probably, and most of the other scenes. But if they found it, go right ahead. With Metropolis, it's not a matter of it's not like the Marauder cut. Where they literally re-edited the movie, added a different soundtrack, colorized it. This is more in keeping with what German audiences saw at the film's premiere, because then it was cut down for American release and international release. It wasn't that it was, you know, that Lang had his cut in the studio, wanted it different, and blah, blah, blah. Anyway, but I haven't seen it yet.
All right. Well, since Stuart's eyes are glazing over, we'll move
on. Are we fucking talking about?
We'll talk about this
that?
Later, I guess.
You'll like this one better, Stuart.
Is this, but I will say, if you missed Metropolis, come see another Fritz Lang movie, Human Desire, July 7th at 92i Tribeca. I'll be showing it.
Stuart, you'll like this one because the title of the email is Even Better Than Wild Things 4. This is from Joshua, last name withheld. He says, hey guys, the other day I listened to your podcast for the first time and spent the better part of the week listening to every episode because I have no social life, and B, I absolutely love your commentary.
It's like 50 hours.
Anyone who references Big Sausage Pizza, Cruel Intentions 2, and the Emmanuel in Space series, while recommending Terrorvision for viewing, my favorite movie of all time, is a titan in my book. I have so many questions to ask that I will limit myself to just two. Number one, what other resources for bad movies do your gentlemen pursue? Any websites or other podcasts you can recommend for the bad movie lover? And two, could you perhaps spend just a few minutes talking about my favorite type of bad movie, the Gremlins ripoff? I'm thinking Ghoulies,
Critters.
Munchies.
Oh,
Munchies, sure, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, those are some good...
I'd recommend the I Love Bad Movies zine from Friend of the Flophouse. Xenia Yarosh.
Hell yeah.
For other bad movies.
Yeah. Elliot and I have both contributed articles to that zine. Mm-hmm. I Love Bad Movies. I'll repeat it again. You can Google that. You can find it on Etsy, I believe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think so.
You know, Mystery Science Theater is obviously the classic. It's still...
Yeah.
I mean,
good
you
way
get
to
it,
see him.
You can get it watched instantly on Netflix these days.
Yeah. And it's conceptually better than what we do.
Yeah, right? Because you can actually watch the movie while listening to commentary rather than having to imagine the movie.
We've done these people a service by keeping them from seeing Legion.
I guess that's true. But I imagine like hearing a synopsis, even when it's one of your like very cogent synopsis, like with all our interruptions. It's like having a 5-year-old tell you the story of the movie they saw last night.
Weird. Yeah. He gives with one hand and takes away with the other right there.
That's well, just like God.
A backhanded sure. compliment.
Okay. That's what they call it.
But the... Yeah, I mean, just look around. There's so many bad movies, you know. Just look around you. Mm-hmm. It's a whole world to discover and explore.
And your local library.
Wait, you can see movies that... Oh, yeah,
I
you
mean,
can,
most
right?
libraries do have movies. That's true. It's not... John. Dan's not talking about a...
You're not talking about, like, movies in book form, right?
No, no. It's not like some future library. I went to the library because they said they had movies there. You had to read all the movies.
Yeah, it's like I was driving cross country and I stopped by a gas station and they had a books on tape section, and the big like the tagline for these books on tape were "Movies in Your Mind." yeah, I guess that's books.
Yeah.
Any thoughts on Ghoulies and or Munchies, guys?
Ghoulies and or Munchies. I mean, I really enjoyed Munchies. I don't remember it that well. I was very young.
I remember Ghoulies better than Munchies.
That's coming up the shitter, right?
That's the one. The poster famously has a ghoulie coming up out of a toilet, which I don't think ever actually happens in the movie.
All right, which one?
There's very little of the little monsters in Ghoulies.
Which one on the VHS case has one of them, you know, holding on to a lady's shapely leg?
That's Munchies.
That's Munchies.
Okay. And now, which one has Harvey Korman?
The cover of the poster?
Is that Ghoulies or Munchies?
I don't remember him being in Ghoulies. But I don't remember Munchies that
maybe
well.
Maybe there's a third one that I'm trying to think of.
Puppet Master?
Yes.
Puppet Master's kind of like a Gremlins ripoff, but they use puppets.
Yeah. Or Doll Man versus the Demonic Toys.
Sure.
Which, similar.
Yeah, absolutely. Demonic Toys. I recently bought I went to a dollar store in Brooklyn and they had a action figure for one of the Puppet Master characters, the Leech Woman, which is such a poorly conceived toy because, first of all, it's like it's a female action figure, so no boy's going to want it. And what girl's going to want a crazy action figure of a woman with leeches shooting out of her mouth? So surprisingly, it was still for sale and covered in dust.
At that point, I don't think the money you spent on it. Oh, did you buy it?
Of course.
I don't think the money you spent even made its way back to Full Moon Entertainment.
Yeah. Which is too bad.
Well, not at this point. I mean, like, that must have been dissolved long ago. Yes,
I don't know. After they made great movies like Mandroid and Invisible, The Chronicles of Bobby Knight.
Well,
not Bobby Knight.
Yeah. Chronicles of
Something Knight. Anyway, you're saying?
What are you talking about? I think
movies.
Okay. Movies in our minds.
Yes.
That's like describing radio as books in your ears. Like or like video game like books as like video games you have to read. Like
yeah.
It doesn't make sense.
Non-interactive video games.
Yeah.
I think we should skip over the recommendations because we're running long on time, but I want to get to this.
I don't have any
last email because it is a treat, and that is it's titled "Response to an Imbiro Email, Post-its and Assumptions" from Victoria, last name withheld, and it says, "Well, well, well, just listen to the podcast today. I am actually the receptionist that your fellow Flophouse fanatic Martin Biro was talking about.
Weird.
Didn't think I'd write back, huh?" Just to clear up
some
things.
Oh, the one where he left a post-it note?
Yeah, yeah. Exactly. And
we talked about last time.
Yeah.
The receptionist, he assumed, did not listen to the podcast. And she says, "One, I actually do have your podcast on my computer at home, and my boyfriend and I listen on occasion."
You should make
boyfriend.
That regular.
Yeah.
Stuart, this is the first thing Stuart glommed onto. Boyfriend. No longer interested.
Barking up the wrong tree, I guess.
I left the post-it on my desk because I wanted to share the link with other film friends of mine.
Oh,
however,
nice.
I'm a bit more of a gamer, so I listen to Radio Free Burrito, Will Wheaton's podcast, most of the time. I mean, come on, it's Next Generation and Will is cute. Yeah, he was the most hated character on Next Generation. I mean, he has become a geek
I think you look a lot like Will Wheaton, Dan.
Yeah, you're kind of like the Will Wheaton of the Flophouse.
Mm-hmm. The most hated
character. Could I be Worf? And you can be Data. Oh, God.
That would be
next
awesome.
Generation.
I want to be human. What is love?
Here's,
oh, let's battle and stuff.
Here's where the email takes a dip, though, guys. In this next sentence, listen to this.
Oh, good.
Stuff.
Plus, I saw the pics of you three not really cutting it for me.
Wow. Wow. Even Stuart.
Burn.
Wrote in to insult our appearance.
Wrote in. Wow.
What a burn.
Well, there's
that's awesome.
I actually do like your show. I agree with Martin that the ongoing homophobic rant towards short shorts on a werewolf was a big mud. Never happened. Not happened.
Wait, yeah, didn't you go on some sort of homophobic rant?
Never.
Yes.
That was never. Weird. That was weird.
He hates homosexuals.
And Stuart and I have no problems with
I
them.
Know. That's the thing.
It's another reason why they love us and don't like Dan. Anyway, you're saying?
Two, I don't read Redbook or McCall. Those are my mom's favorite magazines. Actually, those would be Redbook and Architectural Digest. I study Japanese at my desk when I have 2 minutes or After Effects. No, I don't have personal issues at home, Stuart.
I don't even remember this, man. Getting a lot of heat.
Yeah.
She goes
on. We have made our first flop enemy. Flop nemesis. Awesome.
She goes on to describe herself a little bit more, but I don't understand her references because they're all game related. So
I'll check them out later and tell you whether or not they're valid.
A lot of stuff about like Samus Aran.
Sure, she's sort of a Samus Aran for The Office, I suppose.
I don't even know what that means. So awesome, we have an enemy.
No, we don't have, like, she likes the show, but I think that Martin has an enemy. I think that we have become the go-between for their feud, which has played out via the medium of podcast.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of weird.
Exciting, though, huh?
Oh, yeah.
I feel like...
I wonder what's going to happen. Probably more exciting than the movie we just watched.
We won't be there to witness it, though.
I would love this podcast to become a clearinghouse for people's attacks on each other.
Well, they're office politics.
Yeah, people who work with each other use it, writing into us to read insults to their coworkers.
We just very slowly, morph into a passive aggressive podcast.
I think it's more important though is that she also managed to insult us and burn us, which, frankly,
not cutting it. We're three handsome guys.
Yeah, I mean,
we're all we all have our.
I'm not gross.
We all have our
lady friends.
We all have our audiences.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, she does seem to be holding Will Wheaton up as the pinnacle of handsomeness.
That's true.
So.
Good point.
I don't think I look like Will Wheaton, right, guys?
No, none of us.
I mean, Dan does maybe.
Well, a little bit. Yeah,
you're
Dan
sort of
does.
You're sort of a young Josh Brolin.
Young Josh Brolin. That's better than Worf too.
I'm sort of an old Mickey Rooney.
Hey, if she likes Next Generation so much, people say I look kind of like Data, which is not an appealing.
Not at
all. You look kind of like...
His name's Brent Spiner.
Elliot kind of looks like Odo.
That's the... Udo... That way, who played Odo? Is it... not Rene Abergwinal, was it?
Yeah, it,
it
is.
Oh, okay.
You got those really weird cheekbones like that guy does.
And I do have chalk pale skin, yeah.
Well, now that we've had our...
Odo...
Now we've had our egos trounced by some semi-anonymous listener.
I don't even know what her last name was. It was withheld.
Mm-hmm.
I forgot what she said, actually. So I hope it wasn't anything too offensive.
Guys, we should sign off.
Sure.
We should go say our prayers so that we don't get attacked by angels.
Yeah.
Sarah Prayers? Was that one of the characters from the movie?
All right.
They call me Sarah Prayers. I wish they had gotten that, but overboard. The characters and names, like Bob Redeemer,
sure,
Richard
John
Priest.
T. Atlas,
John T. Atlas.
Well, anyway, our names are Dan McCoy,
Stuart Wellington,
and Elliot Kalin.
Good night, everyone.
Or like Christian Everyman,
John Pilgrim, yeah.
I thought it was vampires that couldn't cross running water. Ellie.
Well, it depends on who you talk to. Really, a number of supernatural... Because, like, the Headless Horseman,
sure,
not a vampire.
But a goblin.
Well, a spirit of some kind.
Sure,
I use goblin in a wider
sense. I mean,
he's
not like a red cap.
No, he doesn't help people get their bags from the curb to the airport.
That's not the type of red cap I'm talking
about. Oh, what were you talking about then?
Like a red cap. It's a type of, like, goblin or ogre that... It wears a red hat and devours travelers.
Ah, I see. Why the red hat? Does he remember, like, the guardian angels?
I don't quite know.